ॐ नमो भगवते वसुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वसुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वसुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जयामुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेष्वबाधृषु नित्यभागवतसेवया भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। यं प्राव्रजन्तमनुपेतमुपेतकृत्यं द्वैपायना विरहकातरा जुहाव पुत्रेति तन्मयतयो तरवो विनेदुस्तं सार्वभूतहृदयं मुनिमानतोऽस्मि। Hare Krishna. So today we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 3. Yamaraja instructs his messengers. Text 22. Etavan eva loke asmin pumsam dharma para smritaha Bhakti-yoga, Bhagavati, Tan, Nama, Grahana-adibhi, Etavaneva-lokesmin, Pumsam dharma parasmrita, Bhakti-yoga, Bhagavati, Tannama grahana dibi etavane valokesmin umsam dharma parasmrita bhakti yoga bhagavati tannama grahana dibi Etavaneva lokesmin Pumsam dharma parasmrita Bhakti yoga bhagavati Tannama grahana dibi Etavaneva lokesmin Mataji.
Bhakti yoga bhagavati
Etavan, this much. Eva, indeed. Loke asmin, in this material world. Pumsam, of the living entities. Dharma, the religious principles. Para, transcendental. Smrita, recognized. Bhakti yoga. Bhakti yoga, or devotional service. Bhagavati, to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not to the demigods. Tat, his. Nama, of the holy name. Grahana adibhi, beginning with chanting. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada ki. Devotional service beginning with the chanting of the holy name of the Lord is the ultimate religious principle for the living entity in human society. Purport. As stated in the previous verse, Dharman Bhagavatam, real religious principles are Bhagavata Dharma, the principles described in Srimad Bhagavatam itself, or in Bhagavad Gita, the preliminary study of the Bhagavatam. What are these principles? The Bhagavatam says, Dharma Projita Kaitavotra. In Srimad Bhagavatam, there are no cheating religious systems. Everything in the Bhagavatam is directly connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Bhagavatam further says, Savai pumsah paradharmo yato bhakti radhokshaje. The Supreme Religion is that which teaches its followers how to love the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is beyond the reach of experimental knowledge. Such religious systems begin with Tannama Grahana, chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnuk Smaranam Pada Sevanam. After chanting the holy name of the Lord and dancing in ecstasy, one gradually sees the form of the Lord, the pastimes of the Lord, and the transcendental qualities of the Lord. This way, one fully understands the situation of the Personality of Godhead. One can come to this understanding of the Lord, how He descends into the material world, how He takes His birth, and what activities He performs. But one can know this only by executing devotional service. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhaktyamam Abhijanati, simply by devotional service, one can understand everything about the Supreme Lord. If one fortunately understands the Supreme Lord in this way, the result is tyaktva deham punar janma na iti. After giving up this material body, he is no longer has to take birth in this material world. Instead, he returns home back to Godhead. That is the ultimate perfection. Therefore, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Mamupetya punar janma dukkhalayam ashashvatam napnuvanti mahatmanah samsidhim paramam gataha. After attaining me, the great souls who are yogis in devotion never return to this temporary world which is full of miseries because they have attained the highest perfection. Samsidhim paramam gataha. Srila Prabhupada ki. etavanevalokyasmin pumsam dharma parasmritaha bhakti yoga bhagavati tannama grahanadibih. Devotional service beginning with the chanting of the holy name of the Lord is the ultimate religious principle for the living entity in human society. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyadesha Tarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Ajanulambita Bhujo Kanaka Vadatu Sankirtanai Kapitaro Kamalaya Taksha Vishwambaro Dvijavaro Yugadharma Palo Vande Jagat Priyakaro Karunavataro Yantah pravishya mamavacham imam prasuptam sanjeevaya tekila shakti darak svadhamna anyamscha hasta charana shravanat vagadim pranannamo bhagavate purushaya tuvyam. First of all, I would like to beg for blessings from all the senior devotees who are present here. I feel very awkward sitting in this high seat and addressing all of you, but with the blessings of Lokanath Maharaj, Bhakti Vaibhav Maharaj and others, I will hope to say something worthwhile. So we are talking about this extremely important subject matter of Harinam Sankirtan, which is, as we all know, Yuga Dharma for this age. And in this particular verse, Yamaraj, the superintendent of death, is stressing this point. The story behind this is that Yamadutas came after the fiasco with Ajamil to Yamaraj, and they came in a very bewildered state of mind. And the question which they asked Yamaraj is very natural. They said, "We always thought that you are the Supreme Lord, because you are the one who is awarding punishment and rewards. You are the one who defines the destiny of living entities. You're the one who sends somebody to heaven and somebody to hell." And all of a sudden, you know, somehow or other we were defeated by these people with, you know, some abnormal, you know, four arms in their bodies. Who they are and who is the Lord? Is there many lords in this world, or who is the Lord? Tell us. And Yamaraj, being pleased with the sincere inquiry, starts answering. And he says, "Yes, there is one Lord, and the Lord is only one. There cannot be two lords. There cannot be two gods. The God is only one, and nobody understands him, including myself." He says, "As much as the form cannot understand the I, as much as the revealed cannot understand the revealer, the somebody who is revealed cannot understand the one who revealed him, like the form cannot understand how the eye works or understand what the eye is. In the same way, we cannot understand the Lord. No way. But he has his messengers who are practically on the same level as him, Vishnu Dutas, and you encountered them." And then Yamadutas asked, "That's fine, but why do they transgress Dharma? why they act against the principles of Dharma. And answering this unspoken question by Yamadutas, Yamaraj starts explaining about the Dharma. And he says, "You fools, you do not understand what Dharma is." And then he says that Dharma is something which is directly related with the Supreme Lord. Dharmantu Sakshat Bhagavat Pranitam. Dharma is only this which is connected with this Supreme Lord whom nobody understands. And if somebody happened to understand that this is the Dharma, this is the religious duty, and there are rare people, there are not so many people who understand this. These people who understand this secret, Yamaraj says, these people will attain immortality. This is the way to attain, to become immortal. And then he speaks this particular verse because Yamadutas by now become sufficiently interested in this Dharma. They basically, after hearing this, that this is, you know, the Dharma which is directly connected with the Supreme Lord. But what? What is this Dharma which is directly connected with the Supreme Lord? They're sufficiently interested in this question, and they asked Yamaraj, "What is this Dharma?" And Yamaraj gives this verse as the answer. Etavan evalokismin. He says, in this world, there is only one Dharma. Bhakti yoga, yoga bhagavati tannama grahanadibih. Tannama grahanadibih. There is only one Dharma by understanding which one can become immortal. By understanding which one can attain a completely different state of existence. And that is bhakti yoga bhagavati in relation to the Supreme Lord. Which starts from taking his name, which starts from the chanting of his name. And of course, Srila Prabhupada very beautifully explains that just by chanting his name, he says, you start chanting his name, and then you dance in ecstasy. And yesterday, His Holiness Lokanath Maharaj showed us how Gauranga Mahaprabhu was teaching this religious principle, you know, how the kirtan of Gauranga Mahaprabhu inaugurated this Yuga Dharma, or the religious principle of the age. And then Prabhupada, in the purport to this verse, he makes a very amazing statement, which sometimes we may have some doubt about it. There is plenty of such statements in Srimad Bhagavatam and in the teachings of Srila Prabhupada and the previous acharyas. He says that you chant and you dance in ecstasy. That we can, to a certain extent, do. Yesterday, you know, we saw how Sachinanda Maharaj and Lokanath Maharaj and Nirajan Maharaj were dancing in ecstasy. But then he says, then directly you see the Lord. And then, you know, it's very easy. You just chant, dance in ecstasy, then you see the Lord, then you see his pastimes, and you appreciate his transcendental qualities, and that's it, finished. You're done. Basically, and we can see that this is repeated again and again and again, but at the same time, we have our own experience. And our own experience shows that even though sometimes we may chant and even dance in ecstasy, we don't see the Lord. Or to speak about his pastimes or appreciating his qualities. And sometimes we become completely dull. Sometimes we sit during the kirtan, which is Yuga Dharma. And we, of course, know from the day one in Krishna consciousness movement that we are not this body, but we feel like a piece of flesh sitting in the kirtan, and nothing really happens. Not to speak about seeing the pastimes of the Lord, really nothing happens. You know, yeah, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I heard it so many times. So What I wanted to talk a little bit about this morning is that why does it happen and what we should do to be engaged in real kirtan. Of course, and that was basically the direct order by His Holiness Shachinand Maharaj and his sincere servant Gaura Hari Prabhu. They told us that please, in your lectures, give us some hints how we can be engaged in kirtan and fully absorbed in kirtan. And, you know, I started thinking what kind of hints I should give. It's a usual kind of mentality, especially in this age of Kali and this age of mechanistic approach to everything, is that we're looking for some tricks. We're looking for some methodology, and we think that methodology will ultimately bring us to God. I often feel that this is something which is expected from the audience. Please tell us some, you know, some hidden secret. Just few tricks, and by employing these tricks, we will solve all our problems. This is kind of, you know, the demand which is there, you know, give us something practical. We have heard already about this, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Give us something practical. You know, sometimes I also see and feel how people, and they try to employ different tricks. You know, and it works for some time. You know, somebody wrote to me a letter. He said, oh, I read Govinda Lilamrit. And I knew I shouldn't do this. But I still, you know, because I knew that I shouldn't do this, I read Govinda Lilamrit, and my chanting has become amazing. Oh, I was there with the Lord, and I was chanting His name. He said, but it lasted for 2 days. Then it became again, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, you know, the point is that sometimes people, they think that, you know, if I read this book, or if I chant this, or if I do this, or this, you know, puja, or this thing, you know, I will solve all my problems. If it was that easy, we would probably all be back home, back to Godhead long ago. The point is that ultimately we have to develop loving feelings towards the Lord. And what I want to talk a little bit about is that where does it start? Ultimately, no trick will work if there is no loving feeling. We are in this school of bhakti, which is trying to teach us how to develop these loving feelings towards the Lord. Where to get these loving feelings from? How to chant with real love, with sincere love? It's of the supreme importance because Lord Krishna Himself speaks about this. On the battlefield, on the field of Kurukshetra, on the holy place of Kurukshetra, during the solar eclipse, He addresses gopis, and this verse is being used by Srila Jiva Goswami in his commentaries of the sixth canto, in the previous chapter, where Srila Jiva Goswami distinguishes, on the basis of this verse of Krishna in Srimad Bhagavatam, between the two methods of chanting, or two methods of bhakti yoga. In Kurukshetra, the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, addressing gopis who came to Him, who basically were very eager to see Him, He says, Mai bhakti hi jivanam, hi bhutanam, mai bhakti hi bhutanam, Amritatvaya kalpate. He says, by bhakti to me, all the living entities will attain amritatvaya, the status of immortality. They come to the spiritual world. But he says, dishtya madasin, dishtya yadasin matsneho, bhavatinam madapanah. He says, but you are different. And that's the interpretation of Srila Jiva Goswami, who says that there are two kinds of bhakti. One kind of bhakti is kevala bhakti, and when you perform bhakti purely, without any inner motive, without any ulterior motives, without any, you know, some crooked desires, then amritatvaya kalpate. Then you will attain the status of immortality, the spiritual world, the world of Vaikuntha. And that's one thing. That's keval bhakti. But then, in the next part of this verse, he says, dishtya, but by your good fortune, madasin matsneho, you have achieved sneha. Sneha means loving feelings. Sneha basically means you have buttery heart. Your heart, sneha means butter. Your heart has become soft as butter. And dishtya, by some good fortune, you have achieved this condition of your heart, matsneho, bhavatinam madapanah. And in this case, I'm drawn to you. And Srila Jiva Goswami, he makes this very wonderful distinction. He says, just by performing keval bhakti, when your mind is keval and you understand that bhakti is all in all, and ultimately you have to perform bhakti, you will attain the spiritual world. But if you have sneha, the result is different. If you perform the same kind of bhakti by chanting of the holy name with this condition in your mind, which is called sneha, love, then I am drawn to you. Krishna himself says that this is the power of special bhakti. It's kind of drawing me. I am Krishna myself. We know this. You know, Krishna is Krishna because he is the magnet. The verb Krish, the root Krish means to draw, to attract. But Krishna himself says, I become helpless if somebody has love towards me. I have drawn towards him. Although it's supposed to be vice versa, he has to be drawn to me. He says, bhavatinam madapanah, I have come to you, and that's a fact. Even though, technically speaking, gopis came to see Krishna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, but in reality, it was Krishna who was totally, completely absorbed in his thoughts of gopis, and he came to Kurukshetra to see gopis. And when gopis came there, they just sat somewhere. And Krishna, he abandoned everyone. He said, forget about all this, you know, Yadavas and everyone else. And he came to them. And so Srila Jiva Goswami, explaining this verse, he says that there is second kind of bhakti, which he calls sneha samyukta. Sneha samyukta means the bhakti endowed with this loving feeling. And this kind of bhakti or this kind of devotional performance has much more strength in it. So much so that Krishna himself says, I am attracted to such bhakti. And it's nice. And basically that's what Prabhupada explains. He says, when you chant in ecstasy, all of a sudden you see the Lord. Why do you see the Lord? Because he has come to you. He has been drawn towards you by your feelings, and he cannot help. He's just there. He's there to see who is this strange personality who has love for me. You know, he's just wondering what's going on. And he's coming, and you see him, and you see his pastimes, you see and appreciate his qualities, and you understand everything about him. So the question again is very important and pertinent question, is that where do you get this? How to get this? Where is the source of it? And even Krishna, he kind of feels baffled because he cannot explain the source of it. He says dishtya. Dishtya means by some good fortune. And basically when we say by some good fortune, it means we don't know how it came. Krishna is looking at gopis and he said, you know, I don't know, you know, this is very strange. How did you develop these feelings towards me? By some good fortune. I cannot give any other explanation. But, you know, that's intellectually not very satisfying if there is no explanation, that what can we do, you know? But the explanation is there. Actually, the explanation is there. Ultimately, the explanation is simple. Right now, while I was coming to this hall, there was the very interesting quote of Srila Prabhupada, which somebody put on the alley, on the road, on the main road of this Mela. And it said there, chant, and then sincerely. From the letter of to Tamashloka, Prabhu. So I started thinking, what does it mean, chant sincerely? What does it really mean, chant sincerely? It sounds simple, but how you chant sincerely? What does it mean? Where do you get the sincerity or necessary feeling, which is so important in this devotional practice? So basically it means that you have to have this at least very ardent desire. Desire to serve the Lord. Bhakti Yoga Bhagavati Tannama Grahanadi Bih. You have to have this ardent desire to get the name, the real name of the Lord. And when this real name of the Lord will come, due to your sincerity or to your desire, then everything will be done. And again, the question we can ask, where to get this desire? Where desire is coming from? Where is this desire? Where we can get this desire? The beautiful comparison which I heard once is like this. You know, when you're fasting, especially if you're fasting Nirjala Ekadasi, you know, is there any need that somebody should come to you and said, you should, Prabhu or Mataji, you know, you're fasting Nirjala Ekadasi. You really are supposed to be thirsty now. Do you want water? And you think a little bit and say, yeah, maybe I want some water. No, it's not like this. If you're fasting, right, there is no one is there, you know, to tell you that you're supposed to desire some water. The desire is there, right? If you're hungry, the desire is there. So the answer is that if we don't have desire towards the Supreme Lord, if the desire is not there, it means, what does it mean? It means we're not hungry, right? If we were hungry to see the Supreme Lord, if we were hungry or thirsty to have the experience, direct experience of the Supreme Lord, this desire would be there. The point is that we don't have, why do we have hunger? Why do we feel hunger when we don't eat? Because the stomach is what? Emptied, right? Because the stomach is empty, that's why the desire is there. And in our case, there is no desire towards the Supreme Lord because we don't feel the emptiness. Because this emptiness is not experienced by us, we don't feel the desire to have the Supreme Lord. If we would feel this emptiness, that I'm empty, my life is empty, my life is totally, completely empty, the desire would come automatically. As much as it comes when the stomach is empty. And this emptiness, why do we don't feel emptiness? Again, the question can be asked, why we don't feel emptiness? Because we have something else, right? You know, if we put something constantly in our tongue, you know, then we will never feel the hunger. So what is happening with us in this material world, we constantly try to feel the need for unlimited and eternal happiness by some other means which is available to us now. And that's why we don't feel the emptiness in our life. We are okay. It's fine. You know, I have this little enjoyment here and this little honor here is coming and I'm very happy, you know. People are clap to me and it's nice, isn't it? The life is so nice. Why do I need Lord for this? I don't need Him. I am happy. I am not hungry. The point is that, foolish as we are somehow or other getting satisfaction from all these petty things of this world. We are not really completely fed up with the pleasures of this world. And by pleasures of this world, we mean not only gross pleasures of this world. We mean also all these subtle pleasures of this world as honor, prestige, and so many other things. And because of this, because we are, you know, yeah, I'm okay. I'm fine. You know, you ask anybody, how are you? The standard answer is what? I'm all right. I'm fine. And because you all are all right, there is no Krishna in your life. Simple. You know, I'm okay. You know, the proper answer for the devotees should be, if somebody asks you, how are you? You should say, oh, terrible. I'm terrible. Krishna is not there. You know, if you ask His Holiness Shachinanda Maharaj, how are you, Maharaj? You say, oh, terrible. This is terrible. I don't feel Krishna. And that's the condition. That's the point which we have to very clearly understand, since we don't really feel emptiness because we're trying. We do feel emptiness. Ultimately, our heart is totally empty, and we know this. We know this. But because we are trying to get this petty satisfaction, or we're trying to somehow or other to forget about this emptiness by the petty pleasures of this world, the real connection with the Lord doesn't come. Because the real connection comes only due to desire. And ultimately, if we again ask how to develop this genuine emptiness of the heart, genuine emptiness of the heart, which will automatically attract the Lord due to our sincere desire to have Him, then the answer would be simple. Ultimately, it's coming from our faith. The ultimate answer to all these questions, how to perform bhakti properly, Again, doesn't lie in some tricks, in some techniques, in some mental adjustment. It doesn't lie on this superficial level. You know, no tricks is there which will give you the sincere desire in the heart. But what can give you the sincere desire in the heart is your faith. If you have the complete faith in this process of bhakti, that your faith is totally, completely placed in this. And basically, what it means, again, if you ask us, what does it mean, the faith? The faith basically means, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself explains, Krishna Bhakti Hoy, La Sarva Bhakti Krita Hoy, Sarva Karma Krita Hoy, is that the faith means that you have the faith that only bhakti can give you perfection. As Prabhupada points out in this purport, I'm trying to explain what Prabhupada is saying in the purport. He says that he quotes this verse from Bhagavad Gita, Samsiddhim. You know, those Mahatmas, those great souls who have achieved perfection, and you can only achieve perfection if you know that this is the perfection. If you have the faith that this is the perfection which you need, that you don't need anything else. That just by having bhakti, you will have everything else. Then you have real genuine faith. Our problem is that our faith may not necessarily be placed in bhakti. We may not understand this, ultimately. We may think, yes, I believe in bhakti, I'm a bhakta such and such, and I have a beautiful spiritual name. Paramahamsa Das Brahmachari. And so many other things we may have, but ultimately, if you have the complete, unflinching faith that you only need bhakti and nothing else, you will develop this emptiness or desire to see the Lord, and then your practice of bhakti will become complete. But what really happens is that we use bhakti as the means, and we always expect, when the heck this bhakti will bring me what I want. You know, I want this and I want this, and ultimately I want liberation, and you know, this Dinasharana comes and says, go to kitchen. And I want liberation. I don't want kitchen. You know. But that means that you don't understand something. You know. Because bhakti means, bhajan means, you know, I'm doing my bhajan. What bhajan means? Srila Prabhupada explains very clearly, bhajan means, bhaj means to serve. And, you know, if you have faith, it means that you will always be looking service. It basically means that by serving Krishna, you will achieve everything. And this is what real faith is. The real faith is that you have complete conviction that in any way I serve the Lord, that will bring the perfection in my life. That will bring the fulfillment of all my desires. And it doesn't matter. And ultimately, it doesn't matter whether I'm here on Kirtan Mela or I'm in the kitchen. Because this is also service. This is also Kirtan. If I'm doing it properly. You know, yesterday I spoke with Mataji, who is serving in the kitchen, and she said, you know, I'm there because they asked me, and I'm here because I'm cook. But there is one Mataji. She paid 230 euros to be on the Kirtan Mela. And she spends 8 hours a day in the kitchen washing pots. And she says, I'm completely amazed. This Mataji is just washing pots and she came for Kirtan Mela. What is this? But ultimately, it means the understanding. You know, it's very amazing in Brihad Bhagavatamritam. Lord Shiva starts explaining what pure bhakti means. And while explaining, talking to Narada, he says, he praises the devotees of this world and devotees of Vaikuntha. And he gives a very interesting description of these devotees of Vaikuntha and specifically devotees of this world. He says, sadhana sadhya nispriha. He says, the devotees, the real devotees, who have the desire to serve, they only have desire to serve, they don't have desire for sadhana and sadhya. Sadhana sadhya nispriha. They don't have desire. They are not particularly interested in some sadhana. There is only one thing they are interested in, to serve the Lord, no matter how. And they know they can always do this. There is no problems with the service. You can always do this. You may not always be in a blissful kirtan, but you can always serve the Lord. You can always remember the Lord if your face is placed in the service as such. So the only trick which is there is to develop the proper face. If the face is proper, if we understand that our Shraddha is there in the service, in devotional service, not in something else. You know, sometimes people, and I can see it, and if I can see it sometimes, you can imagine how much better Lord Krishna can see it. You know, devotees, they perform apparently the service. They are chanting and this and that, but ultimately they want something else. They want liberation. They want just to be completely free, and they don't want to have all these headaches and all these problems. And, you know, this is a nice way to get liberated. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. But that's contamination. Ultimately, this Nam Sankirtan, which is the most powerful way to achieve prema, the most powerful way to achieve prema. In the same Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Sanatana Goswami says that, how he says is, Bhagavat prema, sampato sadaiva abitar avyabirataha. He says that if you do nam sankirtan, then prema has to come. Avyabicharataha means that it must come. It's so intimately connected. It's connected completely. There is such an intimate connection. If you start Nam Sankirtan, the prema must come. It will come. There is no doubt about this. Sanatana Goswami stresses this. He praises this Nam Sankirtan. He says Nam Sankirtan is the best way because it immediately brings prema to you. But the only problem is that adau shraddha. The prema, the fall, the fruit of Sankirtan will definitely come if the seed is proper. As much as, you know, if you, you know, watering different seeds, the fruits will come. If you're taking care of the seeds which are there, the fruit will come. But it will come according to the seed. If the seed in your heart, which is Shraddha, the face is in something else, please don't expect prema, because it just doesn't work. It's just genetically not possible. I'm a molecular biologist by background, so I know. If you have a specific seed, only this seed will give you the fruit. And it will give you the fruit very quickly by this process of chanting of the holy name. There is no doubt about it, because this is the most powerful fertilizer, the most powerful process of cultivating this seed. But the point is that the seed has to be proper. The seed has to be in devotional service to the Lord. I just want to serve, and that's my nature, that's my real nature, and that's what I want. I don't want anything else. And that's it. And in this case, as Lord Shiva says, Lord Shiva says in Brihad Bhagavatamritam, he says that this devotees in the of the Lord, either in this world or in the world of Vaikuntha, they are sadhya sadhana nispriha. They don't care about sadhana. Hari Bolt, it's nice news, isn't it? Basically, he says, they don't care about sadhya even. Sadhya means some other goal besides service. And sadhana means some specific thing which I should do to achieve this goal. Basically, what they care about is that they can serve. And that's my kirtan. That's what it is. That's what I want. I don't want anything else. And it doesn't matter for me whether I'm here or there, whether I'm Kirtan Mela or I'm somewhere in, God forbid, Hamburg or somewhere else, or Moscow. So it doesn't matter. It absolutely doesn't matter where you are, because even Lord Shiva says that for devotees it doesn't matter whether they are in heaven or in hell. Does it matter for us? Does anyone wants to perform some devotional service in hell? There's plenty of opportunities there. Please raise your hand. Lord Shiva says, no, for the real devotee, it doesn't matter whatsoever. It's amazing when Parvati cursed Chitraketu. Chitraketu, instead of, you know, humbly folding his hands and begging forgiveness and asking somehow or other to alleviate this curse, he became very ecstatic. He says, Jai Haribo, I will become a demon and I will serve the Lord being a demon. Is there anything better than this? And Parvati herself was amazed. She couldn't believe her eyes. This guy, he's so obnoxious, you know. He's not afraid of my curse. And Shiva himself, he says, because he's a devotee. And devotee is not afraid of anything else. He's not afraid even of heaven, you know. Forget about hell. Heaven is much more dangerous place than hell. At least in hell you have some impetus to remember about the Lord. In heaven you don't. So but that's the amazing quality of the devotee. Devotee wants service, and service means you can serve under any circumstances, and you should serve anywhere and everywhere. And that's the message which is there, and that's where our face should be. You know, that's basically the seed which we should water with the chanting of the holy name. And if the seed is different, please don't mind if the fruits and flowers will also be different. So we have to really examine ourselves and try to get this face from the books of Srila Prabhupada and from the heart of a pure devotee. That's where the pure face is, where the seed of bhakti is. Bhaktya sanjataye bhaktya. You can only get the seed of pure bhakti from the heart of somebody who has the pure bhakti. Otherwise, nobody in this world will have the pure desire to serve the Lord. Only if you are fortunate enough, as Lord Krishna himself says, dishtya, by some good fortune, if you're fortunate enough to get the seed of pure faith from the heart of a pure devotee, then only the watering process will bring about the very powerful and amazing fruit of love of God. But again, the seed, the face should be proper. And that's why Kirtan Mela is so necessary. Kirtan Mela is there to give us the chance to associate with the pure devotees, devotees who have this pure desire. That's it. If you get this, then it doesn't matter where you are. You will always find the blissful condition of your heart, which is coming from this sprouting seed of the faith in devotional service towards the Supreme Lord. Thank you very much.
Thank you.